You are listening to the BC Lions Den Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
There's no disrespect when it comes to the players from our end as far as, you know, when we let them go. We don't plan to let them go. We don't say, oh, shoot, you know, we're going to let them go on the day before training camp to prove a point or anything. There was nothing personal in that. But we have a hard cap to deal with. And when it comes down to it, when we sit with our staff and we talk, more so when I sit and talk with Devon and Tori, and we sit there and have a conversation. And we kind of go through it, and we do the pros and cons on every aspect of the player, tenure and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, we look and say, what's going to make us a better football team? And we watch the film, and no disrespect to anyone, but when we watch the film, you know, we see the players for who they are now.
You tell them, Ed. What's going on, CFL fans? Welcome to episode 131 of the BC Lions Den.ca podcast. I'm your host, Brian Warishin, and I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show, which is, of course, a member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. Our show is brought to you in part by Metal Rocks Custom Artisan Jewelry and SeatGiant.ca. You can find links to them on the episode page at BCLionsDen.ca, and we thank them for their support this year. We have a ratified CBA and CFL training camps are well underway. The Lions have been hard at work in Kamloops, and there's lots to talk about there. Fan favorite Raleigh Lombala was let go by the team a day before camp opened for veterans, and Ed Hervey's taking more heat for releasing players late in the game. What side are you on? Does Ed need to be more sensitive when releasing players, or does his duty to put the best team on the field outweigh everything? We'll get an idea how far this team has come after a week in camp when they travel to take on the Edmonton Eskimos this weekend with a veteran light roster. We'll check in with those Eskies with Eskimo Empire podcast host Andrew Hoskins. Let's get into it now and welcome back co-host Mojo Kemp to the show. Mojo, how does it feel to know the CBA is in the rearview mirror and camps are in full swing and football starts this weekend?
Man, you know what, Brian? It's always great to have that contract stuff underway. I know as outsiders, as fans, we just look at it and say, get it done. You know, you just hope that everybody's happy with the deal, and it's good to see that the players got a little bit in the way of medical benefits. You and I both have always thought that's sort of been unfair, but at least now the guys are taken care of a little bit better.
Yeah, and the players didn't get too much in this new CBA. The salary cap not going up that much this year. I think it actually stays the same this year and it goes up next year. But, you know, they didn't get a lot. But that medical coverage that you talked about was very key. And that went from 1 year of coverage to 3 years. So that should help guys out a lot, especially if they get injured and get released. They'll still have some coverage to look after them. And nobody wants to see another Jonathan Hefney situation. So that was good as well. But, you know, it's 74%. Approval rate on that ratification. That means 26% of the players did not want to accept this deal. So still a little bit of division in the CFLPA, I would think. And there was a bit of controversy as well because they allowed rookies to vote on the contract, guys that hadn't even paid union dues yet. They felt they needed to do that to get this deal passed. So anyway, it's in the rearview mirror now. We got football this weekend. Well, Mojo, let's get this out of the way right off the top. It's a day before the vets report, and we get news that Raleigh Lombala was released by the BC Lions. We texted that day. You said you were crushed over that move. Now that you've had some time to let it sit in, how are you feeling about that? Because you've always been a big Raleigh fan.
Oh, man. Okay, folks, I'm gonna do my best to keep this safe for work. But keep your finger on the volume button because, you know, I can get a little emotional as far as some of my favorite Lions go. Brian, I've moved from crushed to just being pissed off. You know, I know it's a business. I get all that. But a guy like, you know, I look at a guy like Raleigh, fullback, 10-year vet, great in the locker room, great in the community. I don't get how you're saving that much money by cutting a guy like Raleigh Lambala. I don't like it. I'm afraid now to pick a favorite Lion. Because all my... It's like Game of Frickin' Thrones around here. All my favorite Lions are gone. All of them are gone. So I guess... You know what? I guess I'm just going to call Section 210 Carter Country. I'm going to get on the Duron Carter train and hope nothing happens to him. But I'm a little pissed off. And, you know, if you're thinking of doing this right the day before a training camp, you don't even give the guy a chance to sign somewhere else. So I'm almost like I'm a hostile fan now, as far as the office goes.
Well, Ed Hervey's taken a lot of heat for some of these recent releases, mainly Elamimian and Lambala. Some from Lions fans, which I get because fans are, you know, emotionally attached to these players, but also from fans around the league, which I find kind of comical considering every team in the league has done the same thing at some point over many years. Here's Hervey explaining how the Lambala release came about.
I don't really get concerned in the timing of stuff, right? The reality is that, you know, we were planning on bringing him to camp, but then Brett Boyko came up. We have a cap to deal with. And, you know, when it comes down to it, when you start looking at your numbers and you start looking at the cap and you really start looking at the depth, we looked at Brett Boyko, offensive lineman coming in. We looked at, you know, Raleigh Lambala. And we looked at David Mackey and our running and Wayne Moore, and we said we're pretty solid at that position. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing about that is, you know, when is a good time to let someone go?
Yeah.
But when you're offensive lineman, that star offensive lineman or potential ratio changing offensive lineman comes in and says he wants to play, we have to make room, and that's the dirty side of the business of this sport. And I personally don't get caught in the relationships or how long someone's been around. I'm trying to put together a good football team.
So you can see with the cap and a bunch of moving parts, sometimes these decisions need to be made. And he mentioned the addition of Brett Boyko, which happened just before camp started. You know, that it had been in the works, and he finally got the go-ahead that Boyko wanted to come. You know, the value of adding a ratio-changing offensive lineman. They looked at the roster, saw an up-and-coming David Mackey and Wayne Moore. Lambala made the most sense from an age standpoint and likely a salary standpoint as well. It's just, you know, a football decision.
Yeah, and, you know, you can say that all you want. You can be a Hervey apologist if you want to.
I'm not an apologist. It's just common sense. I mean, it's the facts of the situation.
I hear you, man. I hear you. But you know what? Boyko hasn't done nothing in this league yet. I get the potentials there. Like you said in the last statement, man, emotionally attached. I am emotionally attached to Raleigh Lambala. And you guys know from years and years of listening to this show how much respect and love and admiration we've both had for Raleigh Lambala. So this one's going to sting for a while. It stings more than Solly. It stings more than Lacumbo and Awe. It's going to take, Brian, it's going to take me a while to get over this. This one really freaking hurts.
Well, for my side of things, I say keep on keeping on, Ed, because there's an old saying that you cheer for what's on front of the jersey first and the name on the back second. Players will come and go, but the goal is and always should be to win the Grey Cup. Anyone that's listened to this show, like you said, knows we loved Big Raleigh and Solly, and we wish them all the best. What they did here will never be forgotten by diehard fans of the team, but simply put, it's business. While some fans were upset with the releases, they should be thrilled with the signing of linebacker Adam Konar, who was released much in the same fashion as Lambala and by the Edmonton Eskimos, and I didn't see anybody crying foul about that. The timing was perfect for the Lions as well after the unexpected retirement of Tyrell Davis, who was signed as a free agent this offseason. Konar comes home after a rocky start to his CFL career because of injuries, but he made an immediate impact when he joined the Eskimos. If he can stay healthy, he could be a steal for the BC Lions. His father, Kevin Konar, was also a linebacker and one of my favorite Lions back in the day, playing from 1980 to 89 and winning a Grey Cup with the Leos in 1985. So that's a very cool aspect to this signing as well.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about him, but a great signing. Anytime I think we can get a Canadian on board, especially a Canadian with some star power, always good. I love cheering for the Canadians. So, and good to have a second generation guy on the team. I always, in my head anyway, you know, I always think them second generation guys just play a little bit harder.
So let's get into what's been going on at training camp so far and folks that couldn't make it up this year. So we're going on reports and social media stuff that's been out there. But one thing you keep hearing about is the different energy that's in Kamloops this year, which makes sense with a new coaching staff and so much turnover on the roster. It's all about building it one brick at a time, according to head coach Devon Claybrooks. And so far, it seems like the players are buying in quickly and really enjoying this new refreshed energy at camp.
Yeah, you gotta know that this guy's going to be a player's coach. And lots of ex-players on the coaching staff. You know, it looks like from what, like you mentioned, we can only get our reports from the Lions and from social media. It looks like the guys are having a good time out there. I know that's not what they're out there for, but anytime you can have a good time doing what you do for work, you're going to work better. You guys know if you enjoy going to where you work, you do a better job.
Yeah, and when you say Devon's a player's coach, I think he is. In a lot of aspects, but I think he's also a no-nonsense kind of guy. And if you stray from what Devon wants this team to be, which he's been quoted as calling the BC way, I don't think that you're going to stick around very long. So he's going to let his guys have fun, but when it's time to put on the pads and get on the field, it has to be all business, and that's what he's preaching so far in this camp. Another common thing that we keep hearing, and it's no surprise to anybody, is the impact that Mike Riley has had on the club already, with several players citing his work ethic and their desire to follow his example. So it seems that the signing of Riley is already paying dividends before he even takes his first snap.
Hey, when the captain of the team is the first to show up and the last to leave and the hardest to work out on the field, boy, you got no excuses out there. You got to try. You got to work as hard as the captain. And hey, this is what they signed him for.
Yep. Yesterday was the first session in pads. Coach Claybrooks stressed the Lions players have been told not to take players to the ground. The team wants to see good positioning and good technique, but stupid plays and lack of discipline will not be tolerated. Players who take penalties are made to run laps, so it's good to see Claybrooks enforcing early that this team will play with a disciplined brand of football. He doesn't want them beating each other up either in practice.
Man, running laps. Isn't that universal punishment for every sport?
It was when I played sports. We used to have a thing. I played on a soccer team, and if we goofed off or weren't paying attention, they'd make us run this thing called a mega lap. And it was like we practiced at this school, and the field was huge. And a mega lap was that you had to run around the perimeter, the whole complex, the whole schoolyard. And you had to do that two or three times, depending on how bad the coach thought your punishment should be. So
we did that on our touch football team, Brian. We had a thing Inge made us used to run. We used to call it the puker.
Yeah. Yeah. When I played lacrosse, we had to do that too, run up and down the stairs in the arena, and came close to puking a few times. So yeah, nobody likes to do that when you're an athlete, and I'm sure the players don't like it, but hey, they're going to learn quick that you do things Devon's way or you'll hit the highway. Let's go through some of the names that have been mentioned over the first week of camp. Farhan Lalji said on the radio the other day that the days he was there, he was surprised at how in sync everyone seemed to be, especially on the offense. And he attributed that to the extra work that Riley has put in leading up to camp, working with his receivers in Surrey and demanding that everyone else put in that work as well. And so far, so good with Jerron Carter, who has certainly has his haters out there, which we aren't going to talk about because it's been beaten to death over the last week by every reporter that's been in Kamloops. So it's good to see that he's fitting in well so far. Newcomer Joey Augustin had some strong performances by reports. And if you look at the Lions roster, it's easy to see Ed Hervey has gone out and tried to get bigger and more athletic. And Augustin is no exception, coming in at 6'4". He'll be in tough to take a starting spot with the projected receivers, but he's definitely making a good impression so far.
I think we're going to have a dynamite receiving core, Brian. And you know what? I was a Jerron Carter hater when he played for all those other teams. I became a Jerron Carter lover guy as soon as he signed on with our team, man. So, hey, Jerron, you're okay in my books. Section 210, brother, you come on over. Carter country. Calling it now. Section 210. Are you listening? Carter country.
Yeah, and like I said, he's building a big team. I looked at the Lions roster today and kind of looked at the guys that are projected to be starting receivers. Anyway, the smallest receiver on that projected receivers core is 6 feet tall. And Daron Carter is 6'5". Burnham's like 6'2". Lamar Durant, I think, is 6'2". There's another guy that's 6'4". So, you know, they're building a long athletic team. And not only at the receiver position in the defensive secondary too. So that's been a big goal of Ed's, is to get longer and more athletic. And I think he's certainly accomplishing that.
Well, you're going to have to, right? I mean, how can a guy 5'10", no matter how fast you are, I mean, positioning counts, but hard for a guy who's 5'10" to outjump a dude who's 6'5".
Yep. One player who had a good week was CFL 2.0 receiver Gerardo Alvarez, who was on the end of a Ricky Lloyd deep ball that went for one of the longest touchdowns of the week. He blew by veteran Gary Peters to do it as well. So it's good to see that he had some success and should give some of the CFL 2.0 doubters out there reason to rethink their stance. You know, there's good football players all over the world. And I'm not saying this guy's going to make the team, but at least he proved that, you know, the CFL 2.0 issue has some teeth.
You'd like to see one of them make it, one 2.0 guy.
Yeah, I think Octavio Gonzalez, defensive lineman, he broke his foot, so that's probably it for him. And I'm not sure the other receiver's name, Richarte, I think his name is. But I would be surprised if any of these guys make the team. They may get a practice roster spot, but good on them for trying. They're living their dream, and they're trying to provide for their families just like every other player out there. So it was nice to see him have some success. And I know that Odell Willis has already assigned them nicknames. I think one of them's Chapo and one of them's Pablo. So leave it to Odell to lighten things up with those guys. But Lions are doing some cool things too. Alex Ruiz is part of their social media department, and she speaks fluent Spanish. So they've been posting interviews with those guys, and they seem to be really enjoying themselves in Kamloops. Matt Baker of BCLions.com reported that running back John White has looked quick on his feet. And we talked last week about how John White could be one of the steals of free agency. And I truly believe that, you know, he's had some injuries, but he's a quality running back. And it was just a beast when he first came into the league with the Eskimos, you know, just constantly ripping off 10 to 15 yard runs from the line of scrimmage. So it's good to hear he started camp strong. He and Brandon Rutley should be a great tandem. It'll be interesting to see how all that shakes down and how the Lions plan to use them. They've had two backs before and kind of alternated between them before settling on a guy that they really wanted in there. So it's going to be interesting to see how they deploy those two guys.
Yeah, you know, you almost need a two-back system nowadays. There's very few guys like Andrew Harris. One guy can do the whole job. So it's like any position, really. You know, your team goes as far basically as your backup guys will go.
Yeah, and it keeps them. Well, it's not just being a backup. They might be scratched for a game, right? And it's just a matter of keeping those guys fresh as well. You know, running backs take quite a pounding during a game. So if they can get both of those guys going and kind of alternate between them, they'll have two fresh backs that should get them quite far into the season. On the defensive side of the ball, defensive back Carson Ketter has been impressing the coaches with his versatility, and he could be a strong candidate for the safety spot as the Lions could possibly go with an all-international secondary this year. He's had a couple of interceptions in camp and is another long body at 6'4". Aaron Grimes and TJ Lee are going to be relied upon heavily to lead this group and get everyone on the same page quickly under the guidance of Ryan Phillips. TJ Lee has swapped positions with Eric Grimes from his halfback spot last year. He's going to play the strong side halfback spot this year. I think that's just an effort to get both guys on opposite sides of the field and kind of communicate with everybody else in the middle. So, you know, we're going to see how that goes. But those two guys are going to be relied upon heavily by Ryan Phillips.
Yeah, apparently these guys, TJ Lee and Aaron Grimes, have been friends since grade school.
Yeah, since peewee football.
So. And apparently not only do you have to keep them on each sideline on the football game, according to Ryan Phillips, you have to keep them on each side of the field during team meetings.
Yeah, I heard that, because they're like those two best friends that don't pay attention to the teacher while he's talking, so he separated them in the meeting room. But that was pretty funny when I heard that. But, you know, those guys are pros, and I'm not too worried about that. We haven't heard much about the battles in the trenches yet, mainly because there's only been one padded practice so far, but an injury to tackle Antonio Johnson will give more reps to Brett Boyko and second-year man David Neville. Brian Chu wants his line to be smart and nasty, and with the size of some of these guys, they may have that nasty part down. The big battle will be for that right tackle spot. It would be interesting to watch starting this weekend in Edmonton. I don't know what guys they're going to take, but I would assume they'd like to take a look at Brett Boyko, David Neville at that right tackle spot. In addition, those two guys, give them as many reps as they can to figure out who they're going to use there.
Listeners of our show know how much that we need the nasty back in our offensive line.
Yeah, and Suk Chung's going to certainly add a lot of that nasty. I don't know what kind of player Brett Boyko is, how quickly he's going to pick up the Canadian game again. He's been away for quite a while from Canadian football, so it may take him a while. David Neville's a second-year guy. Antonio Johnson goes down with an injury. I know they got some other guys that are auditioning there as well, but that is the main battle on the offensive line, and hopefully we'll get some more answers after this weekend's game. So with the injuries, Antonio Johnson, lower body, don't know how serious it is. Wide receiver Shaq Johnson, lower body, precautionary. Defensive lineman Octavio Gonzalez broke his foot, likely ending his CFL journey. Pretty lucky so far. No major players going down yet, knock on wood, and we'll hope that continues through these preseason games and the last part of camp here. The CFL has finally revealed all the new era uniforms for 2019, and the Lions have one of the more involved changes. Each team will wear just one helmet and one set of pants this season, and the Lions helmet will be black with a return of the traditional Lions Head BC logo, which is great to see. The helmet will also feature two orange stripes and one white stripe from back to front, has the player's number on the back and a black face mask. Minor tweaks to the jersey as well. The home jersey gets Lions logos on the shoulders, white trim around the numbers. The tramp stamp logo, as they call it, on the back of the jersey is gone, which will make a lot of fans happy. It will also say Lions on the front of the home jersey. The away jersey says British Columbia on the front and has orange trim around black numbers. Mojo, have you had a chance to see them? What are your thoughts?
I have had a chance to see him, Brian. I thought the home jersey is my favorite of the two. Personally, I think there's a little too much orange on the home jersey, or not the home jersey, but the home uniform. I'd have liked to see black pants.
Yeah, a few people are saying that.
You know, otherwise, I think it looks okay. I think the away jerseys are, they're away jerseys. White, there's only so much you can do. I think maybe they're a little bit... they're a little boring maybe, but again, they're the away jerseys. Only so much you can do with white. I like the orange jerseys. I prefer a black jersey. Hopefully one will come out maybe next season as the alternative jersey. Helmets look good. Numbers look good with the, even on the away jerseys with the black numbers with the orange trim around them. They look good. I think, they look okay. They look okay. I don't think they've knocked it out of the park, but I think they're all right.
Yeah, I think they're pretty sharp looking, and I was glad to see the changes more so on the away jerseys because of that whole orange and white look last year I wasn't a big fan of, and it's nice to see some black numbers on there so the players will be easier to identify for us fans watching on TV, but I think the look is good. Like you said, you'd like to see some black pants in there somewhere, but they're only wearing one set of pants this year, one set of helmets. So they've decided to go with orange, both home and away on the road for pants. And, a lot of people complaining about the orange pants, but, when you see the whole kit all put together, the Lions posted a video on their website with the players doing their headshots today in the new unis. And I think they look pretty sharp, and I think it's definitely an improvement over last year. And the biggest thing for me is to get that BC logo back on the helmet. With the Lions heading to Edmonton, it's a great time to get reunited with our fellow Canadian Football Podcast Network host, Andrew Hoskins of the Eskimo Empire Podcast. He joins us now to bring us up to date on how things have been going with the Eskimos. Andrew, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back, guys. I always appreciate the fact that you asked me to come back on, and it's great to chat with you guys.
Andrew, unlike us, you're fortunate enough to have training camp in town, and I know you've been to a few sessions. What's the vibe like in Edmonton? Were the Lions, or like the Lions, This is a new direction to start 2019 season.
Yeah, well, much like you guys, where you have all players from the Eskimos, we have all the players from the Red Blacks. So it's just a different, same kind of feel that way, I guess. But, it's an interesting vibe. We were talking about it on our show this week that there's obviously a lot of optimism, as there is in any training camp. All the cities across the league are very excited for what could be the possibility of what's coming out on the field. The interesting thing for me, though, here is that we lost a lot of leaders when you think about, obviously, Mike Riley and JC Sherritt, and to a degree, Coach Benny. These guys all leaving. So it changes the culture here. Now, the interesting thing that I've found so far is that the team at camp is doing a lot more team unity things. You see them doing a lot more things that are fun and training at the same time to kind of build those bonds between guys. And talking to some of the players, they've really kind of melded in with each other very early on, and they seem very comfortable in the system. So it's been pretty interesting to watch, and there is some super intense battles going on out there. So it's been exciting as a fan as well.
Has it been a physical camp so far? I don't know how many times they've been in pads. I know the Lions, had their first pad day yesterday.
Yeah. And Eskimos had their first pad day yesterday, and they had another today. And so I got to see the second half where they had pads on today. And you can hear the pads crunching together, to say the least. There's already been a couple of scraps. So it's a pretty intense, hard hitting camp when they are able to. But I guess I wasn't there yesterday, but I guess yesterday there was like a guy removing another guy's helmet to take a swing at him. So there is some intensity for sure.
Let's get the obvious out of the way first. The Eskimos did well to replace Mike Riley with Trevor Harris. How do you feel arriving at camp and not seeing Riley out there? And what are your thoughts on the addition of Harris, since we haven't talked to you since free agency?
Well, I think like most Eskimos fans, I shed a tear because we really liked Mike, and it's hard not to like Mike. You guys just talked to him, and he's an amazing guy to talk to, over and above his amazing play on the field and, of course, his leadership. So that part is very difficult. Now, I was lucky enough to talk to Trevor about 3 months ago, shortly after he signed, actually, and the thing that I come in with a lot of hope, I guess, with is that he is very focused, but he's also very team guy, bring everybody together, much like Mike Riley. A little bit different in not being, say, as vocal, but very intense and for the first few days of camp, I would say he was super accurate. So it actually really lifts us up a bit more. So I'm really, really excited to see what he does in the Jason Moss system, because Moss has been able to have the top quarterback for a long time. But even when he had the other quarterbacks, when he was the quarterbacks coach, he always had one of the highest ranking quarterbacks in the league. So I feel pretty good about it right now. I'm excited to see when they actually get into a game situation and see how these guys are starting to gel together, only because there's so many different pieces coming from all these other teams, including the core that we had here. But right now I'm actually fairly excited about it.
Hey, Andrew, let's talk for a second about the guys that Trevor Harris is going to be throwing the ball to. Now we assigned Greg Ellingson, which, and everybody knows what he can do, but you've lost Brandon Zylstra a couple years ago. This offseason, you lost Duke Williams, Darrell Walker, Brian Mitchell, Nate Bahar. Now you got Ricky Collins Jr., DeVaris Daniels, Kevin Elliott have been brought in. Tavon Smith is a name that's received a lot of attention. How does this group look to you, and how do you see who's going to be sticking around? How do you see it shaking down?
Well, there is some intense battles. I do appreciate you running down that other list and just breaking my heart in two again. But I think we're actually pretty good for receivers. The big one that wasn't really mentioned there, but one that has been here for a number of years and is having an amazing start to camp, is Kenny Stafford. He has done a lot of work in the offseason, and I think that he'll be here. I think Ellingson obviously is a gimme that he is going to be here. Obviously, Deveris Daniels is going to be a gimme, and that chemistry with Trevor Harris is becoming more obvious every day in camp. But Kenny Stafford has really, really stood out to me as a guy who has really tried to step up and take that other spot. Tavon Smith hasn't seen too much in the ball getting thrown his way yet. And although he's very highly touted, and the biggest thing, I guess, right now that is going for him is he does have the right passport. I'm excited to see what he can do once, again, we kind of get into that game situation. The other one that I think we've had for a couple of years now that we're going to see more in the offense is going to be Nataia Jay. And we saw him a little bit more last year, and he was really starting to come on, and he's kind of starting to be like Calvin McCarty, where if it's within 5 yards, he catches it. So I think we will see more of him this year because he's now been in the system long enough and he's really come on and actually looks pretty good in camp. So those are the main guys. Ricky Collins has had some great moments. He's a little bit hit and miss, but he's had some great moments in camp. So we'll see what happens. And then the other guy that's kind of quietly had a good camp and will likely be in that kind of sixth receiver spot, I would say would be Torrence Gibson, who's a newer guy, but he's really, really stood out with a lot of great catches.
And what about the guys protecting Trevor Harris? We all know that the quarterback can't get the ball to the receiver unless the offensive line can turn off the sack tap, if you will.
Yes.
So who do you like there, and who do you think the projected starters might be?
Okay, well, right now it's been interesting in these past couple of days. We've seen a bit of rotation going on with the ones, so to speak. So I think there's no doubt that Servi Rogers is definitely going to be starting in that left tackle position. He's brought a huge amount of stability to that left side. And it's very interesting watching Kwaku and Bazzi go up against him, even in camp, just to see those, you know, steel sharpened steel, so to speak. So I think he's a lock to be there. The left guard has been flip-flopping a bit between Travis Bond and Jacob Ruby, who's now in his third year. And Ruby does not look out of place in that spot. And being that he's Canadian, I have a feeling right now I would give the edge to him to starting in that left guard spot. David Beard is going to be starting at center, which he did at the end of last year when Sorensen got hurt. And with Sorensen not coming back this year, it's David Beard's spot to lose. And he's been excellent in that spot. Matt O'Donnell will stay at the right guard, which, I mean, anytime you can put a 6'11 guy in on the line and say, okay, try get by him, that I'm okay with that. And the offensive tackle on the right side, I think, is still a bit up for debate. Colin Kelly is the incumbent, but the interesting thing that I've seen this week is they've actually had Travis Bond playing some of that tackle position with the ones, and that could be something that could develop into something where you've got Bond on the other end, which is another enormous man, and he's used to working beside Matt O'Donnell. So it's the only that right tackle position that I'm not really sure is locked down, but I'd say those other four are set the way I said.
Eskimos did well in getting Harris to replace Riley, but I really like some of the pieces they added on the defense as well. They upgraded their linebackers with Larry Dean and Jovan Santos Knox, which is likely the reason that Adam Konar is now a BC Lion. They picked up former Lion Anthony Orange, and their defensive line should still be solid. Is this defense going to be the strength of this team? And do you think they have addressed the issues in the secondary that they've had in the past?
I think they've addressed a lot of them for sure. And I agree with you that the moves in the defense were actually a little larger, even though, I mean, you think Trevor Harris is a huge piece, but the defense really needed some help there. So there's two things that I'll say on the defense. First, they did a great job in adding in some guys. Anthony Orange hasn't been on the field as of yet because he's nursing a bit of an injury, but I expect to see him more next week. There's a huge battle going on at safety between two Canadians in Jordan Hoover and Jordan Beaulieu. And Beaulieu has been playing with an amazing edge on him. I'm actually very excited to have he hits very, very hard. So I kind of want him to be in that position. I'm excited for that. But that linebacking core has just it looks amazing so far. And right now, Santos Knox has not been on the field the whole time. And Corey Jones has been taking that spot, and he was backing up J.C. Sherritt before. So he's really got that talent as far as reading the play on the linebacking core. But Dean and Unamba are something else to watch together. And the biggest thing I will say right now is that I think the biggest difference will be Philip Lawley. And the defense has a completely different aggressive look. And I'm very excited to see how that combination of bringing in this caliber of guys and playing at that much more intense level where there's a lot more attacking and not so much laying back. I think that's going to be a huge thing for this defense. And I would say that the defense came up, the offense maybe took a little bit of a hit, but it balances out. And I think that they will do well just because of that.
Hey, Andrew, I hear that Anthony Orange may change his name to Anthony Green or Anthony Gold. Which would you prefer?
I would prefer Anthony Gold, but right now I'm working on a T-shirt that says Orange is the new green and gold.
For Lions fans that may not be familiar with the play of Adam Konar, can you describe what you liked about him in the games he played for the Eskimos despite his bad luck with injuries?
Yeah, he did have that bad luck. But man, when he was on the field, he's an intense player who is an amazing hitter. His cover game isn't as good as you would like, but his hitting ability is amazing, and he'll get after a quarterback very, very fast. So I really liked those parts of his game. I was sad to see him go because I thought he was an intense part of that linebacking core. But I think with the change in ratio, it just turned into a money issue.
Yeah, for sure.
Andrew, we mentioned there's been a few scraps at practice, and that's nothing new at a training camp. Jason Moss pipelined the two guys to the locker room. Is discipline an issue on the Eskimos team under Jason Moss? He's a guy that can barely hold it together on his own some days.
Yeah, well, I hear that question a lot. But no, the thing is I go back, and you're right that Jason is an intense guy. Always has been, was as a player, was as a coach. There's not really a lot of change there. But the one thing that I will say that is changed, or what did change, I guess, last year, somewhere just before the Labor Day game, about mid-August-ish, Jason was on the coach's show, and he said straight up, this starts with me. I understand. I've had my own issues. I need to set a better example. And for that whole second half of last year, there were no blowups. There were no, Gatorade incidents. There was no
headsets were harmed.
That's the exact. Yeah. It was a safer place for headsets. And I think, it changed quite a bit. The one thing that I'm actually seeing in this camp, and again, I mentioned it earlier, is that they're really working on this team unity and guys standing up for one another. And something that carried over from about that mid-season last year was, like, they get a penalty on the field. They have refs out to help with training camp. They get a penalty on the field. The entire team does push-ups. And they're working on working that side out of it. Now, the intensity is going to be there in a training camp, like you said, and there's going to be scraps. But I think they've kind of turned the corner on a discipline issue. I think that they, obviously, in a preseason game, we're probably going to see a million penalties because there's not a lot that looks like professional football in a preseason game. But I think as we get into the season, I think there'll be a lot less than what there was before, much like there was near the end of last year, where we were only seeing 4 and 5 penalties a game, maybe up to 9, but it wasn't anything where we were getting the, 15 or 17 like we were in the beginning of the year. So I want to see that kind of play out, but I think Jason's kind of reeled that in a little bit.
I want to talk to you about, I just want to get your observations on this. The other day, Devon Claybrook said that even when the Lions are in pads, he's instructed his players not to take players down to the ground, that he's looking for more technique and positioning and things like that. He says, we don't hit our own teammates. Is that something that's happening in Edmonton too, or are they just going full tilt when they're in pads?
No, it's that is exactly what's happening here. They hit up together and they stand up, but nobody is getting taken down to the. If they are, it's by mistake, like it's somebody tripped or whatever. But that exact same thing is happening here, where they aren't actually taking each other down to the ground, which is, I mean, it's kind of for us as fans, we're like, get him. Yeah. Oh wait, he's on your own team. Yeah, we actually mentioned it on the first day of camp. They weren't wearing pads, but Donnanumma came across the line on this one play, and the poor guy that caught it, he's lucky because Zunamba pulled up at the very last second, but he probably would have cut him in two if he actually hit him. Yeah. So they've done a really good job on kind of reeling that back here.
Yeah, and I know the Lions are doing something similar. When guys take penalties, they have to run laps. So
Yeah, and it's just get it out of the system, right?
Yeah, like for sure.
You won't do it again. Yeah. Yeah.
Andrew, let's talk about the running game for a minute. CJ Gable will likely be the feature running back heading into the season. Word is today that maybe Martise Jackson and Shaq Cooper went down with injuries. What's your thoughts on the Eskimos running game this year?
I didn't see Shaq Cooper go down, but I didn't see much of Martise, so that would kind of make sense.
Dave Campbell from Chad reported Shaq went down, but
okay, he might have rolled an ankle or something near the end or that, because to this point Cooper has looked unreal. His explosiveness is on another level as compared to last year. So CJ Gable's the guy. He is going to be the starting back, as he should be. He looks great. I'm not super worried about him. He's going to see the ball a lot more this year because Harris is not as, not as prone to run as Mike Riley is. So I'm guessing that, you know, CJ Gable's happy because inside the five, he might actually get the ball and get the touchdown, which is something new. But I think Gable's the guy that's going to be there. Cooper is an amazing backup. I'm happy with him. And actually Jordan Robinson, that last year was doing a lot of kick returning for us, as the third guy, actually has a lot of explosiveness as well. So I'd be okay if any one of those three ended up having to be a starter. I'm okay with that. They're all very good at what they're doing so far, in obviously different levels, but I found that they're all pretty shifty and they're all kind of that small, quick guy that runs through. Gable's just the best guy at blocking by a mile.
So let's touch on the special teams briefly. The Eskimos have been searching for a kick returner for a few seasons now. I'm assuming Martise Jackson was brought in to fill that role. What options have you seen there? And has anyone caught your eye there?
No one's really jumped out as of yet, but yeah, Martise Jackson was brought in mostly for that. As I said, Jordan Robinson did some of that last year, and I think the big thing is with the new coordinator in AJ Gass coming in to be able to kind of set up his own blocking schemes and all those types of things. The big thing that I have confidence in with AJ is he is going to be like, no, I tell you, they're going to block. You're going to run this way and that's going to work. And one of the nice things that we have having AJ here is that he used to play special teams and block for Gizmo. So he knows how this can work. So yeah. I'm hoping that that type of information will be able to be passed down to whoever that returner is. It just seems to be kind of our Achilles heel here is to find a decent returner. But I'm hoping with these new setups on schemes for blocking, maybe we open up that guy. And it doesn't have to be for a touchdown every time, but I'm happy if we could get beyond our own 35. like that's, let's start small and work our way up to the touchdown.
What kind of lineup do you think we're going to see from the Eskimos this Sunday, Andrew? Because I know the Lions are bringing in pretty much a skeleton squad. I don't even think Mike Riley's making the trip. I think I read somewhere that the Eskimos have a quick turnaround after their second game, so they're going to dress their starters in this game and maybe pull back a bit in that second game.
Yeah, that's the plan, is that we'll have definitely more of the starters play this game. But because it's here and you have all of the guys here, my guess is that we'll see all four quarterbacks take a shot here. And then in Winnipeg, because we play, it's 5 days later, we play in Winnipeg on the Friday. So, and you have to have training camp stuff in the middle. So I would guess that there'd be a lot more of those guys that are battling for positions heading to Winnipeg. So you'll see, you know, probably Danny O'Brien and Logan Kilgore at quarterback. And then you'll have these guys that are in these heated positions with receivers and safety and that type of thing. But you probably won't see too many starters going to Winnipeg. At home, where you have all the guys here, I'm guessing we'll probably see the ones for a quarter, I would think. And then they'll start to rotate a few guys out and make sure that everybody gets a shot on the field.
How do you see this West Division to start the season, Andrew? If you had to pick a pecking order in the West, how would you rank the teams right now? Because I can't remember a year where I've been so unsure of how things are going to shake down in this division.
I 100% agree with you. I think with the amount of turnover that happened, it's really almost impossible to pick how this is going to all shake out. But if I have to just take a stab at it, you and I will both appreciate how much this pains me to say it, but until they change or until they show me something different, I got to put Calgary in first. But I truly believe that BC will probably end up in the two or three slot, with Winnipeg being the other team in the two or three slot, Edmonton probably finishing a very close fourth, and I put Saskatchewan at the end.
Yeah, it's not much different than mine. I posted mine on Twitter today. I had Winnipeg in first just because I think they're the team that has the least amount of changes right now, and I think they're going to start well. I think continuity is a big thing in football, and I think that the Bombers certainly have the most of that in the West Division. I've got the Lions in second. I've dropped Calgary to third. If only, you know, I could have swapped the Lions and Calgary, but I wanted to piss off Ryan. So
attaboy.
I dropped them down to third. I got the Eskimos in fourth and the Riders in last. And of course, I'm taking heat from Riders fans. But, I out of all those teams, I think Caleros is one hit away from La La Land. So, I can't put them any higher than last place in the West.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. And based on the way that their offense performed last year, and they didn't really change much in their offense other than to add William Powell.
And they've lost some guys too.
Yeah. I don't know how you can put them higher right at this moment. Their defense is still going to be good.
Yeah. But good looking defense, but they're not going to be able to put up points. So.
Absolutely. And so I don't know. And the thing is we can all say that lineup and say, well, this is what we think. And
Yeah.
You know, honestly, in the West Division with any of those five teams, it is a complete coin toss. So, you almost want to be like, well, this is 1A, 1B, 1C, and then there's 2A and 2B. Like, it's so close. Like, you can't really call where anybody's really going to land. And because of all of the changes, I mean, you look in BC, you guys have had a ton of positive changes, but you've lost some of your continuity there too. So how do they gel together? It's the same thing that we have going on here where we've got all these guys coming from all over the league. Are they going to be able to play together and then have success, or is that going to take some time? And so it's going to be really hard to say.
One thing I neglected to ask you, behind Trevor Harris, who's winning that battle for the number two spot?
Actually, it is a very, very tight race right now between O'Brien and Kilgore. And I've been seeing Kilgore getting a bit more of the two reps the last day or so. So it's very interesting to see how that plays out. They're both very close to one another. Kilgore actually has impressed me with some of his accuracy and his passing. And again, that's not under the lights, which I'm excited to see that on Sunday. But I think that's a very, very close battle between those two. I couldn't pick one out ahead of the other right now at this moment.
Yeah, always tough to tell until the bullets are real, right? So.
Exactly. But O'Brien being in the system for this long, I kind of had just anointed him number two and wasn't sure who was going to be three. But I think Kilgore is definitely pushing him right now. So we'll see how that pans out.
So, Andrew, I know it's early. Obviously, none of the games have started. But where does your concern lie for this year's Eskimos?
Much like last year, at the end of the year. The interesting thing was we had this amazing offense and we had all these great receivers that you listed off that we lost. But in the second half of the season, we could not score a lot of points. We'd have one game where we'd scored 40 points and the next one we'd get 7. And so I guess if I had a real worry, it would be like, are we going to be more consistent this year? Are we going to see that offense put, 24 points on the board regularly? Are we going to see this defense now actually hold guys a bit more? Because instead of, we're going to obviously when you play an aggressive defense, you can live and die by it. Right. But I'm hoping that with the guys that we have that improves so that we get more of that balance and that consistency. Cause last year we just really didn't see that. So, that would be one concern. The other concern I have is, are we actually going to have a special teams that gets us past that 30-yard line? Because so far you could have the most amazing offense in the world, but if you're always starting, 80 yards away from the other guy's end zone, you're not really going to have a lot of success. So that's always a worry until you kind of see those guys on the field and see if that actually works to get you down the field a little bit more on that special teams part. That's a lot more important than some people give it value for.
Andrew, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for taking the time to join us tonight. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Not only can we not get to camp, we have to wait another week to see the Lions because the game isn't televised. So we're a little jealous over here.
I understand. Yeah, it might be another one of those Periscope moments, right, where I just set up and throw a little bit on Periscope so that somebody can see what's going on. I'll see what I can do. As this is the first year my boys are now joining us for most of the games. We'll have to see how they handle that. But if I have the opportunity, I'll post them up so you guys can see what's going on with your team.
Have you heard of any possibility the Eskimos might stream it? I know they've done it in the past. I'm not sure.
I don't think the Eskimos have ever streamed a game. It's mostly been Hamilton, right?
Yeah, I thought they did one year, but
so not that I remember. But granted, I'm always at the home game, so so I guess I wouldn't know for sure. But I haven't heard anything that they're going to do that as of yet. If I hear anything beforehand, I'll definitely put it out. But I was talking with some of the staff there today, and there wasn't anything mentioned about it being streamed at all.
Before we say goodbye, just remind the listeners where they can find all things Eskimo Empire.
Absolutely. So you can find us, all of our links are on our website, which is eskempire.ca. But of course we're on Twitter at eskempirepod and we have our own Facebook group and all those types of things. And we do usually a Periscope on a Monday night, and then the show comes out on a Tuesday night every week, and you can find us everywhere that you find your podcasts.
Good stuff. Thanks, Andrew. Keep up the great work with the podcast and say hello to Mike and Kayla for us. Have a great season.
Thanks, you guys too, and thanks for having us on, and congrats on the new the den there. It sounds amazing and it looks awesome.
Great stuff. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Andrew.
Mojo, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Well, Brian, like I told you, folks, it's going to take me a little while to get over Raleigh. I'll get over it, once the games start going. I hope for Ed Herbie that the Lions do well this year, or else he's going to face some backlash against some of the cuts he made, I think. So let's have some good thoughts. This is the last you're going to hear me complain about it. On to the season. Can't wait to see some football. Can't wait to hear them pads popping for real, Brian. I think we're going to have a really, really exciting offense.
Yeah, it all starts get going this weekend. So not the regular season, but the preseason. And it's going to be great to see the Lions back on the field and start seeing what we have in this training camp. So looking forward to see who's going to stand out this weekend in Edmonton. Well, that's it for episode 131. Our thanks again to Andrew Hoskins of the Eskimo Empire podcast for joining us tonight. Make sure to check out all the great shows in the Canadian Football Podcast Network, because folks, they keep getting better and better, and we're proud to be a part of it. Check out cfpodnetwork.ca and at cfpodnetwork on Twitter to stay up to date. Another shout out to our sponsors, Metal Rocks Custom Artisan Jewelry and SeatGiant.ca. And don't forget, if you use SeatGiant.ca to buy your tickets, you can use the code LIONSDEN at checkout to get a discount. You can find links to both our sponsors on the episode page for this show on bclionsden.ca. Please tell your friends to check us out and make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Check us out online at bclionsden.ca, on Facebook at facebook.com/bclionsden.ca, and on Instagram at bclionsden_podcast. That's podcast PAWDCAST. And of course, follow us on Twitter at bclionsden and at Mojo Kemp. On behalf of Mojo Kemp and myself, take care of yourselves, and as always, roar, you Lions, roar.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.